Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. This week, we'll be speaking with Scott Hamilton, an Olympic figure skater and gold medalist, and founder of the Scott Hamilton Cares Foundation. Scott Hamilton, who's also a survivor himself, recently spoke at Cure's MPN Heroes event.
I lost my mother to cancer 41 years ago, or was it yesterday? You know, you just don't know. Time just sort of stands still when you have a loss like that. So, you know, her form of cancer, all they could do was throw as much chemotherapy at it as possible. So every form of cancer has its own identity, its own challenges. And so for MPNs, it's a cancer I know very little about, but it's something that needs to be, you know, people need to be aware of it. The more you know about something, the better armed you are to fight it and the better armed you are to support the person going through it. So, you know, cancer has been a centerpiece of my life for too long, longer than I can really kind of articulate what the identity of cancer in my life.
Scott was adopted at 6 weeks old, so he didn't have a comprehensive medical history. However, when he wasn't developing normally, he underwent so many tests until he finally figured out what was going on.
I think when you have a birth child, there's expectation. You know, they have similar features, you know, my chin, her nose, my eyes, whatever. And if you're in certain interests, you almost expect your child to have similar interests. Like my parents were academics, right? My dad was a PhD professor of biology, and my mother was, you know, in the home economics department at Bowling Green, teaching marriage and family relations and counseling people, and very compassionate lady. But they were both in academia, so it's like they may expect a birth child to follow in their footsteps, but when you're an adopted child, it's just sort of, you know, let's see what happens, right? Let's just find out how this is going to go, because we have no preconceived ideas of, you know, but there's also no medical records, and there's also, you know, so much mystery about, is this normal? So for me, when I was younger, I didn't grow properly, and I didn't develop properly, and it's hard to know if that's normal or if there's a problem. And then I sort of started showing signs of stress. And it was there they realized I needed to figure out what's going on. So I went hospital to hospital to hospital to hospital. And over 4 years, I had every conceivable test, every way of going about why I'm not growing, why I'm not developing, why what they had no idea what was happening, and they thought it was, it wasn't. They thought it was, it wasn't. They thought it was, it wasn't. So I go through, those 4 years, and I'm really just around a lot of sick kids all the time. And it became apparent that after 4 years of sleeping in a chair in the corner of the room, my parents were starting to have their own levels of stress, and so. To give my parents a morning off, there was a brand new facility at Bowling Green State University in Ohio, which was an ice skating rink, and they did a learn to skate program on Saturday mornings, and so I just spent 4 hours at the rink every Saturday morning just learning how to skate. And they noticed that the more I skated, the better I looked, the better I felt, and then they realized that I was starting to grow again, so it was all kind of miraculous. Then I go through all my competitive years and my professional years, and I'm 13 years into my pro career, which I thought if I skated 3 or 4, I was really fooling people. I skated 20. But it was in the 13th year that I realized that I really didn't feel well. And so I went through testicular cancer, stage 3, a lot of chemo, a big 38 staple surgery. And then I kind of went about my life differently, but I went back to figuring out what survivorship is all about when I lost my mother to cancer 20 years before. Fast forward, I meet a girl, we get married, I think we're going to have trouble, becoming parents because of testicular cancer and chemo and 9 months and 2 days after we get married, my son is born, life is good, and then all of a sudden I'm symptomatic again, and this time it's a brain tumor. And the symptoms were zero testosterone. I had no ability to get out of bed. I didn't have any desire to get out of bed in the morning. I felt like I was depressed. I thought because I stopped skating to be with my son, that was the problem. But peripheral vision, a lot of these other symptoms came into play. And so when they found the brain tumor, it took them a week before they decided to pull the trigger on a biopsy. And so they stick a thing down through the top of your head. And they tell you, what I laughed about is like, we feel like we found a safe corridor. It's like, you know, I'm not using most of it, so have at it. But when they did the diagnosis, they realized that that I was born with this brain tumor, that it was responsible for my lack of growth and development. They feel like this is the illness that I had when I was young and wasn't growing. So they radiated it. They did gamma knife radiation back to life. It came back 6 years later. And this time it was a surgery that didn't really go as planned. Became like 8 more surgeries. I lost my right eye for a little bit, a little while, and then it came back about 60%. And then go back to life, and 6 years later it comes back again. And this time it's more like it's the devil I know. So I just decided to keep an eye on it. But in the meantime, I'm going to change my diet, change my fitness levels, change my water, change how I live, and just get strong. Because when they told me it was back, something in my mind, and I'm a person of faith, every instinct was get strong. And I didn't know what that meant. It was just get strong. Get strong. I don't know if it was physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. I didn't know. So I just got strong. And the next 2 scans, it shrunk. So it was like, whatever you're doing, we keep doing that. Whatever that is, we don't know what it is. And now it's kind of, the last scan, it showed that it's kind of come back to its original size. But, living with... living with disease, living with challenges, it's just, I've learned it's how you respond, and looking back on everything, if the brain tumor is what put me in hospitals for 4 years, and back then they didn't have the technology to diagnose it, it gave me my life, my purpose, my health, my career, it gave me everything. So as much as it may feel like a curse, it was truly the most magnificent blessing ever, because everything that came out of it is amazing. We still have to participate. I got to do our part. But without that, I have no idea what my life would look like or where I'd be or what I'd be doing. So it was a blessing.
After his mother died of cancer and then he faced the disease himself, Scott Hamilton knew that he had to get involved in the cancer space.
When I lost my mom, I became a fundraiser. Okay. When I survived cancer, I became more of an activist. I realized in my battle that there was so much missing in the cancer community. As big as it was, it's even bigger now. More people are being diagnosed than ever. But there was a lack of information, a lack of support, a lack of better options. Chemotherapy, to me, is, if that's the best we can do, okay, that's the best we can do, but there's got to be a better way. And so between creating a website that explained chemotherapy, because when I looked up testicular cancer on the internet in 1997, all I got was 12-syllable words, sometimes 6 to a sentence. And I realized I was too dumb to be sick. And there are a lot of people out there like me that aren't a third-year medical student that can, figure this stuff out. So we created websites that speak to patients in 8th grade English and Spanish with Google Translate any language in the world. We created a mentoring program which pairs newly diagnosed patients with survivors because I didn't know how I was doing ever. I wanted to quit after round three. And it was, I'm not a quitter. And I just realized that I don't know how I'm doing. And then there's post-surgical swelling from testicular cancer, which is rather profound. And I didn't, no one prepared me for that either. So it's this endless kind of walk in the dark. You know, every step is in the dark. And, you know, it's how do we change that? CARES came out of my survivorship, and I want to do a thank you to the Cleveland Clinic. And so I did a show, kind of a comeback show, and in the budget there was a $100,000 donation to the Cleveland Clinic, you know, as a thank you and to help fund research, to do whatever. And then I realized that of everything I learned, that I'd really like to do more. And so we met with the Taussig Cancer Center leadership, and we created the CARES brand, which is the Cancer Alliance for Research, Education, and Survivorship. And so it was this broad entity that was going to look after patients' needs and fund research. So we created a website that explains chemotherapy and every aspect of it, how it's administered, every chemo drug listed one, you know, individually and as in their combination forms, how they work, what they're designed to do, and what the side effects are. And then we have a whole section on side effects, and it's all written in eighth grade English and Spanish. None of that existed when I was going through my cancer, and I realized that that was a gaping hole. And so now we thought if we did 3 million hits a year, that was our goal. Right now, chemocare.com is 3 million hits a month.
The Scott Hamilton Cares Foundation continued to grow and is now a national effort.
In fact, my last diagnosis of my brain tumor, there's now a medical option that's been found. It was a drug that was designed for something else, a targeted therapy that works on a papillary-positive craniopharyngioma. And they go, it won't cure it, but it'll shrink it. If it's getting out of hand, it'll shrink it, and then we can do the surgery. You know, it's not a cure, it's a treatment. But I'm looking at that, and they hand me the information. It's written on chemocare.com letterhead, and it's like, okay, it's come full circle now. I created the website, and now I'm a beneficiary of its good work. And then the other part of it was, you know, you don't know how you're doing. And so CARES created the Fourth Angel Mentoring Program. And when we announced CARES at the U.S. Figure Skating Championships in Cleveland, it was 99 U.S. Figure Skating Championships. And I'm standing with my urologist who did my 38 staple surgery. And I go, what do you think of Fourth Angel? And he goes, sounds clever, what is it? I go, well, your first angel is your oncologist, your second angel is your oncology nurse, depending, you can flip those. Your third angel is your friends and family. What was missing was the fourth angel, and that's someone that's been there, done that. And so they can guide you through. They can tell you, you know, what it feels like to go through chemo, how they manage their side effects, how they manage their lives. It's life coaching. It's not medical advice. When we first launched Fourth Angel, people thought we were having patients give medical advice. It's furthest thing from the truth. It's what was your, you know, share your knowledge, share your wisdom, share your unique perspectives with this person that's flying blind. And we thought, you know, if we could, you know, get a 100 or 200 mentors, we'd be in pretty good shape, and it's growing so fast that I don't know how they're going to manage it. So CARES, at the time too, we funded, I think, 53 research programs at the Cleveland Clinic, and then they asked what was next. What do you want to do next? And I said, grow. And they said, well, it's kind of, you can't really do that here. So I asked Toby Cosgrove, the CEO of the Cleveland Clinic, I go, can I take the CARES brand national as a foundation? And so we started 4 years ago as the CARES Foundation. And I like to think of our group as the oldest startup in cancer because we've been around for so long. But we started, you know, everything that we did in Cleveland stayed in Cleveland. We started from scratch. And we've had a lot of people, great people, get behind us to help us build this foundation. We're very small, but we've got phenomenal partners, and we're doing good work in the cancer community. And for us, it's all about turning cancer upside down. You know, I did flips. And so our cancer ribbon is upside down. And that's to show victory over cancer. You know, when you see the ribbon upside down, it's you know, two hands up. And it's just the victory over cancer. And we see that through immunotherapy and targeted therapies. We just know that there's a better way of giving someone their life back than putting them through everything that people go through with current forms of treatment.
Ultimately, Scott said, when you're first diagnosed with cancer, it's really scary, but eventually that fear flips and it can actually be empowering.
From the first diagnosis, you're scared absolutely to your core. You've never felt fear like that before, because now all of a sudden you see yourself diminishing and dying, and you just know that you're going to suffer through it. And that's the first emotion that comes out. And for many, many, many cancer patients and survivors I've talked to, that fear flips, and it becomes a sense of power and determination and courage and clarity of mission. And it's just powerful. And to know that that's inside of you is extraordinary. And, you know, I don't honestly believe that most people know what they're made of until they have to be faced with something like a cancer diagnosis. We all think we know who we are and what we're capable of doing. But when you face that and you have to respond to it, there's an awakening, and it's powerful and it's extraordinary, and it changes your life forever, and in my opinion, for the better.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Tune in next week to hear more from patients, survivors, and caregivers. And don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast listening platform.
The Cure Talks Cancer Podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine.